wilt geven en de juiste woorden. En we bidden dat onze harten ook allemaal open mogen staan om te ontvangen wat u ons wilt geven. We danken u dat u ons wilt zegenen, ook hierin, door uw woord. Amen.
Ja, dit is inderdaad een stukje leger, maar dat geeft allemaal niks. We hebben ook mensen thuis. Misschien zal er een vakantieadres die meekijken. Fijn dat jullie er ook zijn. Ik doe toch mijn bril erbij, want anders wordt het wat lastig voor mij. Ik mag jullie vanochtend wat mooie dingen vertellen, wat mooie waarheden ook met jullie delen. En ik mag het hebben ook met jullie over het huwelijk. En ik heb er 4 luiken gemaakt. Eerst is de instelling van het huwelijk, het bevestigen van Jezus door het huwelijk, het profetisch beeld van het huwelijk en hoe stap je nou eigenlijk huwelijk in? Het ene stuk zal iets langer zijn dan het andere stuk. En als het goed is, een beetje mee zit, zijn de heel veel dingen gewoon bekend. Dat schiet allemaal lekker op. De rode lijn is dus het huwelijk wat we mogen vertellen, maar dat is ook de rode lijn in de Bijbel, in Gods woord. Als je er eigenlijk naar kijkt, en niet alleen God het zelf. En zijn vrouw heeft zich voorbereid, gereed gemaakt. En het is haar gegeven zich smetteloos en met fijn blinkend linnen te kleden. Dit zijn de fijne linnen zijn de gerechtigheden van de heilige. Van ons. Hoe mooi is dat? Maar laten we beginnen bij het begin. In Genesis. Genesis 1. De 26 zijde in eigen Bijbel meegenomen. Ik prioriteer het niet. Mooi stimulans om zelf je Bijbel mee te nemen, maar we lezen hier wel rustig. De mens is het enige schepsel dat God gemaakt heeft naar zijn beeld. Het staat in 1 Genesis 26, dat God zei, laten wij mensen maken naar ons beeld, naar onze gelijkenis. Dus niet zoals de aap, toeval, of niet uit die ene cel, dat is niet zo. Nee, naar het beeld van God zelf. Ook het huwelijk zelf bedacht, ingesteld en uitgevoerd. Dat lezen we in Genesis 2, hoofdstuk 2, vers 18. En ook zei de Heere God, het is niet goed dat de mens alleen is. Ik zal een hulp voor hem maken als iemand tegenover hem. En ook God zegt dat de mens niet alleen moet zijn. Adam had er niet eens over nagedacht, als je het hele stuk leest. Hij was er niet bewust van de liefde, van het is goed dat hij hem nodig had. En dan in vers 22, en de Heer God bouwde de rib, die hij de mens genomen had, op de vrouw. En hij bracht haar tot de mens. Dus 1, Adam wist helemaal niet dat hij een vrouw nodig had. God bedacht. God vormde de vrouw, maakte de vrouw. God wist wat voor partner die nodig had. En vervolgens bracht God diezelfde personen bij elkaar. Adam hoefde niet eens te zoeken. God bracht hem erbij. En ik ben ervan overtuigd dat God ook op die manier voor ieder van ons zo aan het voorbereiden is. En het voorbereiden begint al heel jong hoor. Ook als je kind bent, 8, 9 jaar, 14, 15, zo gaat het door. God helpt ons en bereikt ons voor. En wat hij ook nog bepaalt, is om welke wijze we mogen leven.
Gaat
het? Hij bracht op de manier van de relatie mogen hebben. Want hij zegt in vers 24, daarom zal een man zijn vader en moeder
en vader.
En zij zullen tot één vlees.
oneness is that I had, because I had email address at the university. And I could email with another person at another university. And the only thing that was remain was to write a letter. And sometimes it was not hard to get to know one another, but writing letter and sending letter is the only way that we could know one another. And then we get some friendship. And sometimes it's just difficult, but if you know one another, and if you lost someone, it's very hard. Yes. We are going to the end, and there will be one flesh. And you know one another good, and you trusting one another, you are safe in the marriage, and there is no shame. And verse 25, and they were both naked, Adam and his wife, and they weren't ashamed of one another. And that's because some people don't found that a problem, but that's the oneness which God has as a purpose for us. God has prepared this. It's His plan. And a man who is in Christ and trusting the Lord can prepare himself and prepare themselves to see if they are fit together. And
And the woman and the man can trust God in this. And as in Adam and Eve, it's the same, because they are also made of body, spirit and soul. But God is unchangeable. He is the same. He is yesterday, today, and in eternity. He is the same. And whatever happens in our lives, it doesn't change who He is. What God has spoken, what He created, it will always remain. And we can look for this in John verse 2. The marriage is very important. Why? Because we are going to look at the marriage party in Cana. And Jesus was invited to the wedding. And those who know the history knows that that's the start of the ministry of Jesus. At the party they were going along, and the party were going a few weeks, and the wine, there is no wine more, and it would be a big problem if there is no wine at the wedding. But Jesus found it important that the wedding is a success. And Maria, who asked it, and the guests didn't ask about it, but he told them that they have to took water. And the master of ceremony said, "Hey, what's that?" Verse 2, verse 10. Everyone get the good wine, and everyone got the most good wine, and now they get the better wine, and what Jesus did is show that the marriage is very important, because what I just said, if there was not enough wine, it would be not so good. And all ingredients can be there, but the most important, the profound, is the profound relationship. That's the most important, and all others will be a drama, and every other thing has to be perfect. And if you read in Revelation 19, verse 6. And Jesus also is waiting for his wedding, because the standard of what he has made, he has enlarged. Matthew 19. The Pharisees came with a question about marriage, and Jesus said, "Didn't you read that he who made the people, God himself, from the beginning, and says, therefore a man will leave his mother and father, and is going to his wife, and those two will be one flesh. And what God has put together, no man will set apart." And for us, in the beginning, the Pharisees and what God said is for us all. But the Pharisee said, yeah, yeah, there is more. There is something in the law of Moses that teaches that that divorce is not what it's about. And actually, you can teach this as you can see this as teaching, and then you can learn how to make better what you have done wrong. And but Genesis. He said that the godly standard is still valid, also for the marriage. Christians who are born again, they are a new creature. And God doesn't change. Men who are born again, they belong to the Spirit and not to their flesh. And the marriage that God has put together is also for us. Why is it so important? Why is it so important? Why is it that God wants to live among us? And where we can practice. If it's not working, it will have what will happen if marriage are not working anymore in society? If there is no, if we can't celebrate marriage anymore, what will happen? Because the marriage is a barometer, and it's something that God has prepared for us, and it's also God said in Jeremiah. And God said, "I will remove and the light of the lamp." Disappearing from the voice of the bride and the bridegroom. There are no good and solid relationships anymore. We can't buy any grain, we can't make food. In the light of the lamp, God's light is removing from society. But it is also restoration. In verse 33, and restoration is one of the first things that God has said that there is restoration, and the streets of Judah and Jerusalem who are desolation, that there will not be no animals in this place, will be heard the voice of rejoice, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the one who said, "Praise the Lord, because the Lord is good, because his goodness is for eternity." The voice of the Lord is God is good. God has always our best interest. He has always our best interest. And sometimes it's very hard to believe, but that's the truth, because God is always good. And that's why, if you want to stand into marriage, you have to prepare yourself. Because God has put a high standard, but it's not unreachable. For everyone who is following God, there are changes, dreams, wishes, but also marriage. And yeah, you can ask people who are in marriage how this wedding is, how they prepare, because you have to prepare for marriage. Paul is teaching us a little, in a little how we can prepare for marriage in Romans 12. First one. Yeah, how can you prepare? How can you prepare? And you have to prepare your body for the Lord, because that's so holy. It's a little bit strange, but in the Old Testament, people will the animal will be killed first and put on the altar. And in the New Testament, God said to put your flesh on the altar and put your body as a living sacrifice. Both offerings are full, and you can't hold things back. And your heart is delegating your body, and if you need to give your body to the Lord. What's the effect if you give everything as Paul says? When you give everything to God on the cross, is that your body is becoming holy. And then if you are holy, you are holy, you are clean, you can step in marriage clean. But if you look around you in society and also in churches, then you see some different things. And some people know about it and some people don't. And if you have made other choices, and your body is used, and the body who is holy, but for example, it's used for alcohol and sex or other things, we know what it's about. That's the word of your body. But your body is meant as temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you want a clean, holy body to step into marriage without shame? And things that God is giving us to clean our body and to cleanse ourselves. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's in Romans. And then you think it's John. Also God's truth. And there is hope. After confessing, there is truth. If it don't go astray. And people who sin before God, and men who sleeping with men, thieves, people who are greedy, people who are drunks, people who are robbers, they will not get the kingdom of God. Why not, said Paul. He said, now come change. Some of them, you were like that, missing you, maybe you, maybe me. Some of us, we have been like that, but you are cleansed. You are being holy. You have received justice in the name of Jesus and in by the Spirit of the Lord. And I will say it again, you have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You have been holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have been righteous by believing in the power of the blood of Jesus, His name. That's the way for us. Do you know what then happened to people? Some people, he said in the second letter of Corinth, that, yeah, I've done my best. I've done everything what's possible for God. I've given you to marriage, to one man, to Jesus. God can restore. God can change us. Also our thinking. Also our body. Also everything that we are doing. Because of the blood of Jesus, we are being cleansed. And so powerful is the blood of Jesus. So the first thing of your body is to offer your body as a living sacrifice. The second is to put everything down for the Lord. And let's go to verse 2. And some of you know this out of your head. And don't be equal with this world, but be renewed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can see what the will of God is. Because you give everything to the Lord, God can change things. He can change your mind, your thinking, and that's you will be changed, your character, your behavior. But God can change your character, your behavior, so that He will be visible. And God will share His secrets with you. The old thinking that we had, that thinking is thinking in the flesh, is being the enemy of God. But He will give us the thinking that we need. It is it's excited to put those steps, but I told you, God is good and He's always for us. And He will not do something that is not good for His children. But how do you come to those mindsets? And it's always the enemy who was trying to put those thoughts in your mind and fighting against you. And to surrender everything to the Lord. It will cost you everything. Everything that we love in life. Oh yeah. God will say that you have to do this and this. But and he said there is no it looks like there is no space to have enjoyable things. Oh yeah. If you are busy with God and He will change your mind, and it seems like you can't just develop yourself anymore, and it looks like people can't think for themselves anymore. But resist those thoughts, because the enemy will flee from you if you resist him. If you resist those thoughts. But if you... Sometimes you have to make... Your life...
البته خداوند میخواد که در این نقشه تغییر به ما کمک کنه و این نقشه که خداوند داره میتونه کار بکنه در خداوند نقشه که داره. خداوند نمیخواد که تو رو مجبور بکنه برای کاری انجام بدی. که میخواد خداوند میگه که قربانی کن اون خواسته های خودتو حالا به خاطر اینکه خدا رو خوشحال کنیم. همه چیز بعض وقت قلبمون به عیسی میدیم و ازش میپرسیم یه بار دیگه که ما کمک کن، اینکه انگار دوباره میخوایم خودمون رو تقدیم میکنیم به خداوند. تقدیم کردن خود به خداوند و یک شدن با روح خدا. اگر شجاعتش رو داریم که یک تصمیمی بگیریم الان بایستیم، اگر میخوام که چشمامون رو ببندیم در مدت کوتاهی که داریم بتونیم فکر کنیم برای خودمون که آیا میخواییم که واقعا این کار رو انجام بدیم یا نه. حتی برای کسی که در خونه هستن، اگه میخواین که ازدواج کنین فکر کنین و که پاک باشین، اگه میخواین پاک بشین با عیسی مسیح. خداوند عیسی، شکرت میکنیم که تو خودت رو روی صلیب برای ما قربانی کردی، برای گناهان من خودت قربانی کردی، که تو به ما زندگی ابدی دادی، حیات ابدی. حالا میخوام خودم رو به تو تقدیم کنم، میخوام به عنوان قربانی زنده باشه جسم روی صلیب عیسی مسیح. از حالا به بعد من به تو تعلق دارم. منو اون چیزی که میخوای بساز برای خودت، اون چیزی که لازم داری انجام بده. بذار که نقشه تو در زندگی من انجام بشه. بذار که تو شکر که تو منو پذیرفتی که من به تو تعلق دارم. آمین. یادتون باشه شما تصمیم خودتون نگفتیم، بلکه ببینیم که تصمیم خداوند در زندگیمون چیه. شاید سخت باشه، ولی همیشه بهترین رو به همه بدید. آمین.